talking with Ambassador Kenneth Quinn of the World Food Prize Foundation. And Ambassador, when you think about the World Food Prize, you almost have to think concurrently about the Green Revolution and Norman Borlaug. And you talked a lot about that today here at SARL.
Yes, exactly. It's, I mean, one led to the other. Norman Borlaug showed with the Green Revolution what was possible. Dramatic increase in production, making food available, stymieing and preventing mass famine. And that seemed to be lead to an explosive kickoff of research, development in many other crops, and was, you know, sustained for a whole generation. For more than 50 years, it became the single greatest period of food production and hunger reduction ever in all history. And he created the World Food Prize to recognize and inspire those breakthrough achievements needed to continue it. And so now that he's gone and his legacy endures, the World Food Prize hopefully will be that device where we will be causing others around the world, and he was particularly interested in, you know, developing countries and enhancing education and having them produce their own scientists and their own research. He was very, very, very supportive of getting more women into research, making full use of all of the human resources. So all these things come together in Norman Borlaug's legacy.
You talked about some drivers that you've kind of identified within the World Food Prize efforts, and biotechnology, sustainability, and dealing with climate.
Yes.
were the things that you talked about. Biotechnology is obviously a very emotional issue. At least a lot of folks have allowed it to become that.
Yes, it is. It's it provokes an awful lot of reaction. There are some people who are thoughtful and scientists and who raise questions, and all questions should be addressed. And no topic is perfect. But for many, it seems to have become almost a kind of a war. And sometimes it's directed at the biotechnology itself. Sometimes it's directed at companies who produce biotechnology-based products. But I fear that if we do have this kind of emotional warfare that will go on, we're not going to be able to do the work together that's critical and important in order to ensure that we produce enough nutritious food, and we do it in a sustainable way, and we do it on the land we have available now, as opposed to cutting down the rainforests and what remains of that habitat, in order to try to ensure that with the climate volatility we face and the growing world population, that we are able to do the best possible approach to meeting that challenge and feeding all those people.
Really, bottom line, when we talk about this doubling of population by 2050, can we feed the world without biotechnology?
I think most thoughtful people would say that we need to use all of the tools. Biotechnology seems to be a very important tool that can bring a lot of different elements to this process. So right now, I'd say that given the issues that we face, it would be very hard to just exclude biotechnology.
You had your own personal story about development and how roads can actually make a difference in hunger.
Yes, indeed. It's the lesson of America, and it's the lesson of development that I saw overseas. You know, we have the interstate highway system in the United States, and I'm old enough to remember when it was just getting started. Mm-hmm. And it was transformative in what it did for transportation, but it also was transformative in how it gave our country a sense of it's a new modern era. And I think if you were to go into some of the very poor and developing countries and there was a way to enhance and upgrade their roads and build really good roads out into remote villages, they would be both in what they brought there in terms of new technology, new products, access to markets, and this sense of change, of dramatic change, would infuse this spirit in people and add to that. So I think infrastructure is critically important. We're not going to get there in feeding the world without the additional infrastructure.
Last question, sir. Regarding, here we are, brand new year, 2014, looking out into the new year, next several years, in fact, where would you like to see the efforts, the advocacy efforts of the World Food Prize Foundation go?
I think we want to be advocating for increased funding for research in developed countries. I want to see the continued assistance in whatever form it would take to those countries, particularly ones who are putting their house in order with good governance and anti-corruption, to assist them. But if we're going to get there, we have to reach the smallholder farmers in Africa and South Asia. They're the ones who now have subsistence living, and they marginally, you know, just produce enough to keep themselves fed. And if we could just double or triple or quadruple what those small farmers produce, that would be a place where we can make amazing gains.